I'm going on an adventure!
You may quest the way you like, I will quest the way I like.
What is your quest?
This is the first stop on your first quest. We shall go together.
What kind of a quest?
An ancient seer who helps many on their quest.
If it's for the quest, we will do what needs to be done.
Will be my quest.
For the quest.
Your quest.
Let us quest!
This quest sucks.
Welcome into Quest for 100, everybody. Episode 3 of our amazing, wonderful new show, part of Malice Core family of podcasts. I'm joined with the wonderful, the amazing, who has an even better poster and cooler poster than I've ever seen in my life, Shape of Water there. Mr. Beacon, what's up, dude?
Not much. Been watching them movies.
Dude.
I'm all caught up, baby.
I'm on pace. I still have one. We have one more week in February, and I've got two more movies to go. So,
well, I think you might actually be ahead of me overall in the count. So we'll have to see when we get there. But
14. I'm at 14.
You're at 14. I'm at 14
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I'm 14. So two more to go. Or 8 per month.
That's true. Well, you know, two a week, 8 a month, and yeah. We're at week 7. This is going into week 8 of the year. So yeah, we need to be at 16 by the end of the week. So
yeah, no, it'll be good. I think it'll be easy, especially now that we got some good flicks. I caught a re-release of Mary and the Flowers Witch. Got released in an indie theater near me. So that kind of caught me up. I didn't have to go watch a total dreg type of movie out there. I was actually able to see something I really wanted to see, so that was cool.
And that's the same creators of like Howl's Flying Castle, right?
Yeah. So the animation director from those films broke off of Studio Ghibli and created his own studio called Panoko or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry. Email jack.malice all of your hate mail and pronunciation corrections. Yeah. So he broke off. The last film he did with Studio Ghibli was The Secret Life of Arrietty. And right. I heard really good things about that. I saw that get multiple nominations, things of that nature. So this film, Mary and the Witch's Flower, was the first film from that studio.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it released in July, but with all of the Oscar buzz it's been catching, they did re-releases in theater. So I went and caught that instead. So I was really excited to be able to catch that because I thought I'd missed it in the theater.
Dude, my theaters have been doing some re-releases as well. Like, I could go see, of course they have Shape of Water still in theaters right now.
So good.
Amazing movie. If you haven't seen it, please like go check it out. Watch it in theater. It's so, so good. Still after 14 movies, it is my favorite movie of the year still. But you could go watch like Get Out is playing in theaters right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Billboards is back in theaters.
Yeah. Get Out would be perfect to see.
Theater.
Dunkirk. So, yes.
Yeah, so they're only playing like once a day, and so they have one theater, like it's my local theater. They have actually one room, one theater screen, and they just are rotating in these like 4 or 5 Oscar nominated movies, and it's only like this week and next week. So it's kind of cool that you can go check one of those flicks out again in theater.
That's awesome. No, and I love when theaters do that. I love a lot of the times AMC or Fathom events, you know, they do a lot of that stuff. Fathom is mostly known for taking like Broadway shows and putting them in theaters. But they did these most recent ones with Mary and the Witch's Flower. So,
oh, nice.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool to see that. They did a bunch of, you know, on the instead of like watching trailers for other things, it was like, have a bunch of cool discount codes from Luke. You know, that was kind of it's a different experience when they're being sponsored by, you know, to get on the theater screen over there. So that was kind of cool.
I'll do that. That's cool, man. Yeah. But yeah, so you were looking at my wonderful poster. So I do have the.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to lie. Every time I see it when you're on cast or anything, I'm so jealous of it.
I'll send you a link so you can get your own because it was rather inexpensive. I actually paid more for the frame than I did for the for the artwork.
I need a link for that bad. Oh, and then I have the Black Panther. That's so cool, dude.
Mean glare coming from my new monitor, so but
it's all good. Hey, you can just see me twice, so that's cool. You got me here. You got me on your glare.
Well, you with the mask on.
So I'm cool. Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, could you imagine me layered into the Black Panther mask like that? That'd be awesome. Speaking,
just your beard hanging out the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the cool thing about it. You know, with vibranium like that, you know, it's just gonna cover right over the beard, and then my beard will have adamantium plating. So I'm about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's gonna make it all, it's gonna make it a lot tougher to shave, but it's all right.
Well, that's a more reason to not
shave. speaking of Black Panther, our last episode 2 was, I think, 3 days prior to release of Black Panther. So we were not able to talk about, all we had was the hype train to discuss.
Yes.
And I'm just, yes or no, did it live up to that hype, B?
It did. It did.
Absolutely.
we were so worried. Man. I went back and was listening to it when I was doing all the audio edit. And dude, I was listening to us get hyped about it, and it was getting me more hyped about it. and then I had like the soundtrack in while I was playing Monster Hunter.
Dude.
And I'm just like, just get jamming down on some Monster Hunter and getting more and more hyped. And then I went to see it. Bro.
So first of all,
definitely top 5 favorite superhero movie of all time.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. The crazy thing was, though, is just that soundtrack, first of all, Kendrick Lamar. I don't listen to any of his music. It's just not, I'm not a huge genre fan for him, but everybody always told me he's amazing. He's phenomenal. You should just give him a shot. The Black Panther album had me pulling up his albums as well to see what he's about. I'm a total fan of his now, especially after what I heard from the Black Panther album. And I listened to that thing everywhere. I mean, I woke up to it. I had a speaker that I was like getting ready in the morning and shaving my neck and showering to with it, driving in the car with it. That album is phenomenal. The soundtrack's amazing. Every piece of music done in that film is so phenomenal. And for him to get hold of that and throw it onto that album was just amazing. So much good on that album.
Oh, dude, it was wonderful. From the soundtrack to the casting, to the directing, to the visual cinematography in the movie, to the story. We were so worried that we weren't going to get just a true straight up Black Panther story, and we got one. I timed it. The introduction of the movie was about 20 minutes, almost spot on, to give us the backstory. And then the rest of the, whatever it was, hour and 40 minutes was just new Black Panther. And we didn't get anything about...
we didn't hear anything about the larger Infinity Wars, the Captain America Civil War stuff.
It stood alone on its own, and it was amazing.
And I loved that so much about it. You know, all of our worries and fears that someone might come in here and try to take shine off of Black Panther, none of that happened. First of all, I have to say, a really phenomenal intro into that movie. I was not even aware the film had started because I was waiting for all the big cinematics and stuff like that and all these things going around it. Straight in. Let's go. Let's start kicking ass. Let's do amazing things. I loved it. Phenomenal there. First off, the big surprise, I have to say, Ryan Coogler, you and your team hit a home run. I talk a little bit more about that on our other podcast, Nerd Mosh Pit, but I cannot give enough kudos and credit to the team that Ryan Coogler and his squad assembled. Near flawless for me as the movie goes. I do have 2 minor complaints about the flick that we'll get into a little bit later, but I don't want to do that right now, because if you haven't seen Black Panther yet, you should probably turn this shit off and go watch it, because you're failing as a comic book hero, technology fan in general, just a fan of any genre. You're failing in life if you're not watching this. I literally was in the theater today. There was an 80-year-old, a no joke, 80-year-old woman in her full Wakanda garb.
What?
Had it ready to go. I was talking to her in the theater. Wow. She, awesome. Unfortunately, she refused to take a selfie with me. I asked her if I could have a selfie with her, because I was like, I love your attire. I said, this is amazing. She's like, this is my 3rd time I've seen Black Panther. I love this movie. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. She's like, are you going to go watch right now? And I was like, no, I'm watching something else today. But I've seen it twice. I've seen Black Panther twice already. And she was like, good man. She's like, it's amazing. I'll probably see it 2 more times. I was like, go on. I was like, I love you so much. Shout out to Juanita, who I met at the theater. So
that's freaking cool, man. Yeah. Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Yes. She was awesome. She was so cool. It was so cool to see her in the theater. I just looked at her. That's awesome. I gave her a big smile, and I was like, I know what you're going to go watch. She's like, yeah, buddy.
That's so rad, man. That's cool, man. Yeah. That's a cool little story. I think more than just watching the movies, I love when we have great stories that come from the movies. My Black Panther story is not so, it was still great. But I had, you know how much I love MoviePass.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I
love my MoviePass. And by the way, if you haven't checked out MoviePass yet, and we are not sponsored by them by any means, but they have a great deal right now. It's $7.95 a month. They're doing a sale right now.
Yeah.
You need to go get it and you need to go watch more movies. Get some more movies in your life. Start with Black Panther.
Yeah.
But my MoviePass actually didn't work.
Well, and if there's a thing is, because I know they're such huge fans, MoviePass, you know, I know you guys are huge fans of the show. You're tuning in every week with us. Let's get this, some of this stuff fixed, man. Let us work some stuff out here.
And I think it may have just been like the congestion, or it could have just been, there was something wrong with the app because mine didn't work. My buddies didn't work. And my wife's didn't work. So we just paid for our tickets. But then, man, I've seen 12 movies on MoviePass this year already. I have more than paid for it.
Yeah.
More than paid for it.
Yeah. 12 of my 14 have been on MoviePass. Yeah. So.
If it was another movie, I might have been a little more upset. I might have just said, you know what? I'm going to go do something else for an hour, come back and see if it works. I might have done that. But I was like, bro, I am so excited for Black Panther. I am not walking away from this theater without seeing this movie. And so, and I had like, there was like seven of us there. So we. Yeah. Again, we had like half a row, you know, decked out with us, dude. It was so cool.
Well, man. And the thing with Black Panther, so when I went and watched it, that's one of the two movies that I've seen this year that I did not have my movie pass on because I wanted to see it at midnight. And there are events and moments in the theater that I'm not willing to wait and get close to hedge my bet. I bought my Black Panther ticket almost 4 weeks ago. You know, I've had this for a long time, ready to go, set up. So
yeah, and that's no big deal when it's something you're that hyped for. Like, yeah. And especially if you're going to that midnight show. And I went on a Sunday night, so, and I'll tell you what, the theater was still packed. It was packed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I haven't been to a theater this last 2 weeks where it hasn't been nuts. And I've gone to everything from 9:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night, and the place is filled. And the reason why I know so much of that is Black Panther, because I've seen everything from, like I said, Juanita today, amazing woman, you know, much older than your average moviegoer, but just a phenomenal lady, and she was there for it, right? I went at 11 o'clock, and there are kids running around the theater, and they've got their Loot Crate Black Panther shirts on, you know, and that is so cool to see that this movie is hitting so many demographics, so many age ranges,
yes.
Because it speaks to everyone. It's not just a single group out there that it's speaking to, so yeah.
And it's not just... I know we touched on it a little bit last week, but it's not just a movie about Africa or about African Americans. Like, it is not. It is a movie about life and about, like, doing the right thing in the end. I think if we talk about the theme of the movie is, like, doing the right thing matters more than just worrying about yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. So pick a theme.
That's kind of what it comes down to, right?
Just pick a theme. Here, superhero film, redemption story, yep. You know, political,
family
yeah. Revenge, anything that you want to go on a theme of a flick, this hit some version of it, and yep. It hit it in an amazing way, and it really knocked it out of the park in every single way, shape, and form. I mean, the clashes between old world and new world and all of those yeah. different items and things of staying true to who you are, but forging your own path. I mean, all of those themes that you could think of that could be in any type of story, this hit a little bit, if not all of them, in a huge way.
Yep. Big fan. Big fan. I'm definitely going to go watch it again at least one more time, probably two, maybe even three more times before he goes out of theater.
I will probably see it at least one more time. This
I got to pace myself and make sure I'm still on track and I don't.
Well, and that's why I had to do double duty today, catching the second flick, because I'd seen Black Panther twice, you know? So that's just one of those things. And I will gladly do it as soon as March rolls around. I'll probably sneak in another showing of it there.
So we're both at 14, which means we both saw 5 movies since we've last talked to you all fine folk. And if you're listening to us or watching us, thank you so much. if you're following us on iTunes or Stitcher, we love your 5-star reviews. We've got a few of them out there. I know your boy Kenny dropped us one, I believe.
SYL, the other day. My man.
Shout out, Mark. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys. I know Mess threw out a shout out for us, and he was doing some editing work for us on Twitch. So you can see us at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. And we also stream Monster Hunter all the time, too, because when we're not watching movies,
we're slaying monsters.
Slaying monsters.
We're slaying Nier Higante, or we're getting slayed by Nier Higante, as I should say.
Yeah,
yeah, that thing's a whole nother level.
Jack and I got one today, though.
Oh, did you guys? Nice. Good. I'm glad you guys did.
Got a steel dragon, too, by the way.
Ah, well, you know what? You guys deserve it. I'm not going to be sour. You guys were so sour at me last night when I told you guys I caught a steel dragon. Jack Malice was not happy with me in any way, shape, or form when I did that.
But anyway, we're not talking about Monster Hunter, even though
we're talking about questing, but not that questing. We're talking about movie questing.
So let's go over what we saw. And then how about we go over, just we'll run through the list and then we'll come back and talk about each one just to get them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we do that though, I have to ask one question. Oh, yes. So I'm a big like trailer guy. Trailers mean so much to me. If they're too much, I hate them. If they're too little, I love them. If they're not enough, I hate them. You know, so it's a very small line of what I enjoy in a trailer. But first of all, did you see the trailer for Sicario 2 yet?
I don't think so.
Amazing. You got to look this up. Sicario 2 trailer. First of all, did you see the first Sicario with Benicio del Toro?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Phenomenal film. This one looks just as good, if not better. But this one was the one that really caught my eye that I just got to ask about.
Okay.
The disaster heist flick. Have you seen this? The 600 million at 600 miles per hour.
Hurricane heist.
Hurricane heist. Yeah, hurricane heist. In the tagline, 600 million at 600 miles per hour.
First of
what all, the shit?
First of all, there is no category of hurricane that has wind speeds that great. Okay. Second of all, it's stupid.
Oh.
Write it down right now in case Matt or I get behind. That could be one of our punishment flicks.
That's
the only way I'm going to go see it.
I don't know. I really thought it was a joke. Like, I thought they were going to be like, show the next joke film and then show the next joke film. But that trailer just kept going. And I was like, oh no, this is a real thing. Like, this is really happening right now.
I thought we were going to see the dude from Stranger Things walk out and go, it's a Tide commercial.
Anything. I was begging for something because it was, it was even more so because I was in the theater Thursday night and I saw a poster for it. And I was like, no, like there's actually a studio putting serious money into this film, and Shape of Water couldn't get a damn national release when it first dropped. Right. That is so infuriating to me. $600 million at 600 miles per hour is getting more love than Shape of Water got off the bat. So
hurricane heist crap.
That was rough. I'm not going to lie. Did you see the trailer for the Nutcracker of the Four Realms, though?
Yeah.
That looks good. I was actually surprised. I like when Disney does some weird stuff like this. I like when they kind of do something different like this one, and that one kind of looked pretty good.
And they've actually, I'm not a huge Disney fan, by the way, but I think they've hit it out of the park so far with those live action remakes. I mean, Beauty and the Beast was pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, it had me singing in the theater, dude.
I was listening to the soundtrack afterwards. You know, I was singing. I was beasting it in the car.
So yeah, I mean, they've done a good job. They've done a pretty good job. And so when I saw it, I was like, what movie is this? And I couldn't figure it out at first. I was like, is this Fantasia? Like, no, it's not Fantasia. And then boom, it popped up.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what I thought was Fantasia. Awesome. Like the music made me think of Fantasia.
Yeah,
but then I was like, "Oh no, they did." Yeah, absolutely. It was Nutcracker on there.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. I actually, that one looks really good. And the last one that I saw today that I'm actually like really excited for because I love the original film so much, and I love the actress who's going to be in this one, is the new Overboard film with Anna Faris. I am an underground Anna Faris fan. I don't care what anybody says about her. I think she's a phenomenal person.
I'm an above ground Anna Faris
fan. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay. No, I've been given some hell in my life for being an Anna Faris fan, and I will gladly right here, I'm coming out of the closet as an Anna Faris fan. Huge fan of hers. Other than that, dude, no, there was a couple other ones that I'd seen, and you know, they're conversations for another time. You know, it's just funny, like in the theater, like in the trailers now, and I'm like pulling out my phone, taking notes for the show. Like,
oh, are you?
Yeah. Nice. But as soon as trailers are over with, I'm like, don't be a terrible human being watching the theater. Put it away. Put it away.
Unless Jumanji happens, and then you hold the phone and text me because I want to know those stories when they happen. Yes,
absolutely. I should have been texting you during my early man watch, but let's talk about what we watched. All right. So since we last saw you guys, I have seen The Post, Black Panther, Early Man, Mary and the Witch's Flower, and Game Night. I just saw as well. So
cool. I went back and watched another one that you recommended. I watched Hostiles.
Oh, yes.
Which we got to talk about.
We got to talk about it.
I watched 1517 to Paris. I watched Samson.
Oh, nice. You did catch. Okay, nice.
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Not that nice.
I watched Black Panther, and I also watched Early Man.
Nice. Okay. So, man. So, yeah, thankfully, Hostiles and Black Panther were there to save the day for sure. So,
we talked about Black Panther already. We can set that aside.
We'll set that aside because I want to, at the end of the show, we are going to do a spoiler Black Panther conversation because I want to talk about that film in depth. So,
oh, okay.
Warning to maybe, all of maybe you folks.
Maybe we'll cut it and we'll make that a special side release.
Yeah, we'll figure out what happens. Yeah. We'll let you guys will figure out when the episode's released. Yeah.
So let's talk about Early Man since we both saw that.
Cool.
I saw it just on Wednesday. So
yeah, I just saw it, I think either Wednesday or Thursday night, one of the two. Yeah. So the only thing I liked about Early Man, honestly,
Nancy Williams?
No, Mr. Rock. Mr. Rock was I was a big fan of Mr. Rock. I was a big fan of Mr. Rock, and then once he left the show, I was done. I was like, you know what? I don't think this movie's for me anymore. And that's about exactly where the movie turned.
I think Macy Williams did an awesome job.
She did. Absolutely.
I didn't even know it was her. I was telling you, I had to look it up because I knew she was in it. And I was like, Arya Stark? Heck yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm down for that. And then I go and look, and I'm like, who's she playing? And I was like, oh. Like, it didn't sound like her at all.
Not at all, no.
Here's the problem, though. You were talking about movie theaters being full.
Mm.
It was me, my wife, and my oldest son. That's it.
I was the only
person in the theater by ourselves.
Only person at Early Man. I was the only one.
Oh, dude.
I was the only human being in Early Man. I was afraid they were going to turn the lights on and turn the movie off because I was the only person there for Early Man. And that one made me feel terrible because I was in the theater and all these people are going to Black Panther. And I'm like, one for Early Man. And the lady taking my ticket to take my movie pass was like,
kind of gave you a look like,
Early Man? Oh, I was like, yeah, Early Man. Just give me the ticket. I'm doing a podcast. All right, I'm doing a podcast.
And halfway through, you're like, I want to see going to Black Panther.
Don't judge me. I have two ticket stubs for Black Panther. All right? Don't judge me. I've already seen it.
Oh, man. But
yeah, Early Man. I cannot recommend that to anybody to go see in the theater. If you have kids, also if you're a big soccer fan, it does have a cool little soccer tie-in. You know, talking about this is where Manchester, where you know the game of football started. You know, that stuff is fun, kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff that I know huge you know football heads will get a laugh out of and they'll have a ton of fun with it. Wait for it to come on home release. I can't recommend someone buying a movie ticket for that.
Yeah, I mean it was okay. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Definitely not. Well, by far. Here's what you want to go for though, is the animation.
Yeah, yeah. For the most part, I would say so. I always like to think about how did I feel when I walked away from it, and I was like, eh.
I didn't fall asleep. Yeah, I didn't fall asleep in it, so that was good. And I was the only one in there. I mean, I could have started sawing logs, you know, and I did not do that. So, especially because it was late at night. I mean, I went at 10:30 for that one. So, but no, the thing was, is that film, you know, it's done by the guys that did Wallace and Gromit, Shaun of the Sheep, I think, is one of the other flicks they did. Go for the animation. That animation style, that kind of digital claymation is just so killer, and they are flawless at it. They really are. It was a flawless work with that animation, and that's one of the things that I have to give it up to. Like, you know, there was a lot to not like about it, whatever. I'm not going to talk bad about flicks on here. It's definitely worth seeing, but go for the animation if you're going to go watch in the theater.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the voice acting for the most part was good too. Like I said, Macy was good, and Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, that played he was
the king.
He was kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, he was.
The scene with the bird message. All right, that was funny.
The bird, the pigeon recording was pretty awesome. Absolutely. But yeah, Early Man, not at the top of my list, but you know what? Have a couple beers before you go watch the flick, and maybe you'll enjoy it. But
Matt's beer counter.
There you go. But do not drink and drive. Drugs are bad, kids, and only drink alcohol responsibly if you're 21 years or older. Now I don't have a guilty conscience about someone going out and getting drunk watching the film. So
I'd enjoy it that way.
There you go. You probably will. Probably will. The Post. So can I just say The Post? Like, I loved The Post, first of all. I love the stories of us needing the free press. These are great stories as to why we need free press, why they shouldn't be owned by public corporations to edit and audit and, you know, censor what the stories should be told. They should be done responsibly, 100%. I think The Post did that really well. You know, they weren't releasing anything that was going to harm soldiers or troops or anyone across seas. But man, I love The Post. The thing with The Post, though, is I was kind of sitting there and I'm like, why is Meryl Streep in this film if she's going to play this woman? Like, it really took me back because this was not the normal, like, Meryl Streep movie. Very meek, timid character she was playing. But by the end of the film, her character arc, I was like, now I know why she played this film, because there's so much subtlety in that character's growth with her not necessarily being the main character of it was phenomenal. So I love The Post. I was a huge fan of The Post.
Yeah, because Tom Hanks obviously overshadows her quite a bit in the film. But and this is what I love about it is it's a true story.
Yeah.
And Kay Graham did something for the free press that everybody else was afraid to do. And a woman in the 1970s did something that nobody would have ever imagined she would do. Yep. She took a huge, huge risk, risked her freedom, risked her entire company that her father had built, and then her husband, who had passed away, had continued building. And that helped establish this identity of, like, we're going to be able to keep this free press going and be able to freely report on what's really going on.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why the Washington Post is what it is today, you know, and it's one of those last kind of bastions of that free press and the newsprint. So phenomenal story. Yeah. I can't recommend The Post enough. If you get a chance to go see it, if it's still in a theater near you and you have not checked it out, I recommend The Post. It was very, very good.
Yeah, it was definitely good. I mean, there's a reason that it's got six Best Picture of the Year nomination. Yeah, it's been
the two people I did not expect to see in that film, Bob Odenkirk and David Cross. What a reunion of Mr. Show. I was like, what? Both of these guys are in the film. This is awesome. And Bob Odenkirk, by the way, knocked it out of the park. I loved his character. I thought his character was phenomenal. Odenkirk's character was killer. So
yeah, as been
Bagdickians. sounds like a bad Louis C.K. punchline.
Yeah, a very important character.
All right, so yes, The Post, Hostiles. So Hostiles. Let's talk Hostiles.
Can we come back to it?
Okay, we can come back to Hostiles.
Because I think we can spend a lot more time on it.
Mary. What'd you see?
I saw 1517 to Paris.
Oh yeah, Clint Eastwood film.
Not good.
Not good.
No, hold on, let me say. Story is wonderful.
Okay.
Very good story. I'm watching the movie with my wife, and I keep turning. We are literally turning to each other like, this is not good acting. Like, really not good acting. And I couldn't figure out why. We got about 3/4 through the movie, and I pulled up on IMDb, and I'm like, who are these actors? And I look, and it's the three friends that are the heroes in real life are the actors. So then I was like, okay, that now it makes sense. And then I actually felt better about the last
part of
the movie. So I was like, okay, I don't know why Clint Eastwood did that. I don't think it was a good decision. I think the story could have been told better that way, but I was okay with it after I knew, okay, it's the actual dudes, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a risk that someone in Hollywood had to take, and Clint Eastwood would probably be the only one that would have been able to pull a card like that.
With that being said, it was very choppy.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
In my opinion, was not well done. But
honestly,
the story is good, and it's a true story, and the story is being, you know for a fact that the story is being told by the three people. So that made it okay for me.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say watch it, but that's one that I would wait.
Well, and we know what Clint Eastwood is capable of. You know, he came out the gates hard in some of his directorial debuts, and we know what he's capable of. And I hope he gets back to that. You know, this is something where he probably wanted to honor those gentlemen, honor that story. And that's a guy, Clint Eastwood is a guy that I definitely see making that move, something like this that I've never heard of before previously. So
that's true. I've never heard of that being done.
Yeah.
So kudos to for taking a risk. I don't know, absolutely. But I don't think it paid off. But
yeah, well, he saved all that money paying those guys. You know, he didn't have to pay some high-end Hollywood actors. So they're like, you're going to save us budget by hiring those cats? Let's do it.
I still like when people take risks, even if it doesn't turn out the right way.
Absolutely. Because,
yeah, I dig it.
It's always worth a shot.
We talk about one of our favorites, who is a huge, huge risk taker. Huge risk taker.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's done some risks that didn't pay off, so...
Boy has he. Yes, has Cindy. He. And it sucks, yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, some people are sent to like this black hole of Hollywood when they fail on some risks. And, you know, Del Toro's a guy that he's been climbing his way out of that. You know, he kind of went into this weird purgatory. You know, Clint won't end up in that hole, but there are some directors and stuff you just don't see anymore. You know, one of our favorites, Kevin Smith, you know, he gets beat up all the time. And with him kind of, you know, giving a big middle finger to production companies and things like that, and all of the publishers, and him doing self-releases through his Smodcast systems, you know, he doesn't get the love that he should. 100%. And you know, that's something that you have to understand when you're taking those risks. And kudos to those guys that are doing that and taking those risks, because still a huge fan of Smith's. And we'll get Clerk 3s one day, everybody. I swear we'll get it.
Wait for it.
One day. Mary and the Witch's Flower, excellent tale. One of the things that I've always loved about like Studio Ghibli, new group, Pinocchio, I'll have to look up the name. I'll check it a little later here. One of the cool things is they are notorious for the female lead character. These studios are huge with everything from Howl's Moving Castle, Kiki's Delivery Service, Princess Mononoke. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on of female lead characters that are strong, that are feisty, and they do everything any boy, any man, anybody could do. And they stayed true to that, and they knocked it out. Like, I was very happy with this film. Huge fan of the art style, the animation. I love that look, that feel, that style. The music was fantastic. The story itself got a little convoluted. There were a couple points where they missed a little bit here, missed a little bit there. And it was a little kind of back and forth that I didn't really enjoy. I wish we could have gone to see some new backdrops and some new areas and some new worlds, because it was such a cool idea of a little girl getting magical powers through a plant she finds. And there could have just been so much more adventure and exploration around that, and they kind of dropped it into the same little area. And I get, when you're with animation, you know, every scene has to be created that way. You know, it's not like you can just go pull a camera turn around and have a whole new area that you can say somewhere else. And, you know, an indie studio like this doing the animation, I get if there were some restrictions on what they could have done, but man, there was just, it just like, it kind of, it got you there. It moved you. And you just never, you always felt like we should have gone somewhere else and been somewhere else with it as well. Still a huge fan. If you are a fan of anime, if you're a fan of animation, go absolutely check this out. If you've got kids that just want to have a fun, amazing story and have some cool little laughs, absolutely go check this out. If you are just a fan of a cool, different style little tale, go and check this out as well. It is a lot of fun. It is a fun movie. I had quite a few laughs.
Ponok?
Yeah. So it's actually, so they did this little cool little thing when they were talking about the studio and how it got created, is that's actually like a Czechoslovakian word for midnight. And because midnight is the hour of creation. And so that's where that came from. So I thought that was a really cool little backstory to how that studio got its name.
Nice. It's got some good names on it too. I'm just looking through.
Oh yeah, Kate Winslet. You know, I mean, is one of the main.
Well, I was looking at just the cinematography and the
absolutely.
Toru Fukushi, Takatsugi Miramutsu. Yeah.
Everybody tied to that film is tied to a phenomenal film.
Absolutely. They have done. Yeah. They are known for their work.
Yeah. I mean, Ponyo, Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke, Kiki's Delivery Service, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, or whatever that one's called. You know, I've said the movies over and over again, and there's a ton of them, and they're phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely. So, Samson. I want to talk to Samson.
Samson.
Fly me to the moon and back.
Give me some of that hair, Samson.
It wasn't that kind of Samson.
More of the tearing down the walls kind of.
It was the biblical Samson. So from somebody who knows the story well, I can tell you all my friends out there who want to go see this because they know the story well. It's about 70 to 75% accurate, somewhere around there.
Better than average.
They definitely take some liberties of their own with a few things. I went with one of my buddies, same buddy I go to the movies with all the time, and he fell asleep.
Ooh. Ooh.
Couldn't
hold him, huh?
If you really like the story of Samson, and you're a big fan of the story of Samson, go watch it. Go watch it. Make your own judgment. It was an okay movie.
Gotcha.
I didn't love it.
Nothing over the top.
I just thought they could have done more with like some of the action scenes. There's just so much more they could have done. But overall, I didn't fall asleep and it kept my attention. But
good. Know that it probably won't be the top of my list then. That's good to know.
Yeah, there's other things to go see. Gotcha. I'm just being honest.
Cool.
But like I said, I didn't mind it. And if you're a fan of the story, go watch it. It's accurate enough to where you're not going to walk away like, that's garbage. You know, it stays pretty true to the source material.
Why is The Rock chugging a beer during Samson? No. Yeah. That doesn't sound right.
That's not right.
So game night. So okay. Today I went to the theater after a little bit of work in the morning. I like going early morning Saturday. You and I have both talked about Saturday morning, great time to go. And I was going to go, I watched Mary and the Witch's Flower, was going to get out and go catch Annihilation because that's been, you know, getting some cool buzz. I'm also a big fan of Natalie Portman. Also, all of that cast that's in there is just really, really good. I love the all the actresses and actors in that film. But I got out and it was like 5 minutes for game night, 25 minutes for Annihilation. I was like, I'll go check out game night. I'm a big fan of Jason Bateman. Rachel McAdams is really good as well. I'm in. Right. Let's go check it out. Boy, was I not disappointed. That movie was awesome. I thought it was phenomenal.
It's got a Clue feel to it, doesn't it?
I was really worried that it had shown too much in the trailer. Like, that was a trailer that I was like, well, I don't need to watch that. I've seen I've seen beginning, middle, and end of that film, you know. And they did just enough in so many spots to twist it just a little bit where it felt a little like Clue, but it felt more like almost like Michael Douglas, The Game, where you didn't really know, were you in this? Were you not in this?
Okay.
But it also had kind of a, a heist movie to feel. I mean, it was a different type of flick. And nice. It kind of did a genre mesh that worked really well because you just had phenomenal people pulling it off. And Rachel McAdams, I was talking to a friend today about the movie. Like, I was like, you got to go watch this. It's such a great movie. And I started thinking about the scene with Rachel McAdams, and I started laughing, dying on the phone laughing, because it was such a funny, genuine, cool moment where you're just like, she's so dumb. And I love that she went full blow with some of the scenes that were there. Like, this cast and crew had fun. They really enjoyed what they were doing, and they went all out for it. Jason Bateman, I know some people think he's a little bit more of a miss than a hit. I always find kind of his dry sense of humor really good. And I think he crushed it. I think the whole cast crushed it. And this is why you have to watch this. Oh, because B-Con's going to die. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Black Wakanda. I'm sorry, Wakanda. Go see Black Panther. Go see Black Panther. I will not speak about Game Night anymore. Except one thing, because there's a phenomenal cameo at the very end of the film. An actor who I have not seen in close to 5 to 6 years shows up in this film, and I literally in the theater was like, oh my God, it's, and people started looking at me like, why is this fool yelling in the theater? Like, is it really? I was like, that's just cool to see him back in the theater. Like, I loved seeing an actor show up, had a really cool cameo, as a dastardly villain. It was really cool. I loved it. I had a really good time with Game Night. It snuck up on me. It surprised the hell out of me. I recommend going and checking it out. Nice.
It's on my list, along with Annihilation and a movie I'm going to see tomorrow night. I'm going to see Every Day tomorrow night.
Yeah, Every Day. Every Day. Watch it. I still think Your Name is a better version of that film, but Every Day still has that interesting kind of storytelling, which I like. I think it'll be cool.
Well, we'll compare notes.
We'll see. We'll see.
So last one I saw, Hostiles.
Hostiles.
Let's talk about Hostiles, and we can jump into some Black Panther.
Deal. Let's do it. So Hostiles.
How good was Hostiles, dude?
It was so good. So I wanted to apologize to everybody for like being so vague about it last show, because I didn't want to give the wrong vibe of which you should go into this film. B, what did you think of that first 10 minutes?
And I have a story too. I have a Hostiles story.
Yes.
Great. So I'll start with the story and then we'll roll right into the first 10. I'm getting in line and I'm walking in my head thinking of your words where you're like, it's brutal. Like there's some it's a brutal filmmaking. And so I'm like, I'm thinking of that. Right. Of course, when I think of brutal, I'm thinking more like it's going to be gory, you know, which the movie is not gory, people. It's not, it's a whole nother type of brutal. So in front of me are these two like sweet, innocent looking, really old ladies, and they're buying tickets, and I hear them, they're like, two for Hostiles. And I'm like, oh wow. And so I get in and they end up being like five rows ahead of me. And I'm like chatting before the movie starts. And I'm like, I got these two ladies. What's the over under on how long they're going to stay in this theater? And I think you replied back to me and you're like, if they make it past the first scene, they're in it for the long haul. And I'm like, all right, I don't know if they're going to. That first opening scene is brutal in a way of like heart-wrenching brutal. Like, we talk about themes. The theme of this movie, the biggest one, is loss. Oh, hell, loss. And it was a kick in the gut. It was a huge, huge kick in the gut,
to say the least.
And that's how the movie started, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, and it kept with that theme. And I think loss is a great theme. And I love that you picked up on loss. I think more than anything, the one that I felt was the really true theme that I, you know, when I'm kind of thinking about those characters and the moments they're in, mine was more of forgiveness. The reason why forgiveness kicked in for me, it wasn't maybe so much like forgiving the person in front of them or around them, but themselves. and the moments they were in, because of the moment when Ben Foster shows up in the film. And he's the prisoner that they take from the camp, and he kind of breaks free and does his stuff. That character, the words that he talks about in that film and some of his speeches, that's where forgiveness kicked in, because he talked about, you and I are going the same place. You and I, same people, but I'm in chains and you're not.
Well, he even said, like, you've done worse than I've done.
Exactly.
I've seen you do worse. And then, yeah, there's that moment where, I don't want to ruin the movie necessarily, but at the end of the movie, you get that he's able to forgive himself.
Yes.
And I almost didn't think it was going to happen. And then
it turned into a movie where I was about to walk out of there wholly depressed. And then that very last 5 seconds, I went,
I can have a
breath, man.
Oh, that's exactly how I felt. Like, I was like holding my breath, and then like, I was able to exhale.
Yeah.
I actually watched it alone. So I was by myself watching the movie, and which I thought was appropriate, because some of the feelings that creep up in that movie, like, it's best for me. It was best to be alone, because I didn't have to feel like I was conscientious about like who I'm with or anything like that. Because there's some moments that are freaking brutal, dude.
Yeah. And I think And that's one of the, this is one of those films where you look at it and you make that, you sit there and you go, what would I be thinking in that situation? What would I have done in that situation? Because there's so many moments where you're like, don't do that. Or why didn't they? And it's back and forth. I think your reaction to that film is so much more enhanced when you don't have that thought in the back of your head, like, what would someone think of me if I'm reacting to this? And I think you're right. Like, seeing that alone, you get to be kind of honest with what your decision would be, your feelings would be, your reactions would be to that. So a huge fan of Hostiles. I'm so glad you saw it. I loved the cinematography of that film. I loved the scope and the scale and that wilderness of kind of that Midwest Southwest feel was just so good. I felt they nailed all of that.
Living at where I live, I'm so close to Montana, which is the final destination of where they're going. I would have to look and see where they filmed it, because it definitely looked like they were, because what they're going from New Mexico up to Montana, and it looked accurate in what you were seeing. Yes. You know, thinking about going through Colorado and all the way up through. It definitely looked the part. And I love about it, and we talk about period pieces as some of our favorite movies, I got that feeling of, this is what it was like, you know, this is what it was like to be, you know, in the 1890s, probably
whatever it was when, you know,
I guess I'd have to,
yeah,
I'm on the actual page right now, but. Oh yeah, 1892.
There you go.
So you're post Civil War, 1892, and I got a feeling like, man, this is what it was like, you know. And you got to think, like, most of the tribes have been driven off their land, and it was kind of like settling those last kind of bits of, like, the Apache tribes and the different tribes that were still out there.
Fighting
for their land. And yeah, man, there was a lot of that feeling of
brutal.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal in a sense of, like, this is our history too.
Yeah.
Like, and the things that we did, but what I love is that it comes around, and the characters grow so much in that film. I mean, the migration from, you know, I'm a soldier who hates savages, to where he ends up at the end of the movie, and where the chief ends up at the end of the movie, and just that whole journey together, that motley crew, I think is what you described it as, you know. Man, it was so good. It was a great movie. I cannot recommend it enough. Yeah. if if two really old ladies will sit through it.
I love I love those old ladies.
I don't know about young children. Probably not a great idea, but I would say if you're 12, 13 even on up, I would say it's a great flick to go see.
Yeah, I agree. Huge fan. Loved what everybody did in that film. I loved all the acting. Jesse Plemons, though, the guy who plays Todd in Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. was in this film. He is also in Game Night. And he's probably one of my favorite characters in both films. He is such a weird, creepy guy that I hate almost every character he is on the screen. He's literally like nails on a chalkboard. When I see his face, I hear his voice.
Oh, he played the lieutenant.
Yeah, but he's just so good in his roles. And Game Night, he's amazing in Game Night. Okay. So shout out back to Game Night for Jesse Plemons, who's also on Hostiles. Way to be the bit actor of this era, dude. You're crushing it, Jesse. Keep it up, man. I know you're a huge fan of the show, so I'm talking to you, Jesse. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Love ya.
Love you, brother. Yeah, so that's what I got, man. That's my list. That's what I have on the board, dude.
We're back on track. 14. We don't have to go see 50 Shades. So
not as of yet. We still got 1 week and 2 movies to go for the end of February here.
Well, we'll be back with you guys mid-March.
Yep.
On the first week of March or so, second week of March is when we'll be back with you. And we should have seen 4 by that time. So
easily, yeah.
If we're staying on track.
Yep.
Gosh, man.
Anything else you saw? Anything you're excited for that you want to talk about before we go?
Yeah, you know, we'll just end it with March is going to be a phenomenal month with Ready Player One. I'm so jacked for. It's kind of like, doesn't it come out here pretty soon?
It's early March, I believe.
Late March is Isle of Dogs. So it's,
yes,
Isle of Dogs, I think it's March 28th. So it's almost like we get to start with. So there's two. Those are the two films in March that I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
So of course, dude, Ready Player One. I am.
In a world of pure imagination.
I don't know how to feel about it because I feel like I feel like I might get disappointed.
Once again, the hype train. I have to watch the hype train. But man, Spielberg, like, this is where I like Spielberg, though. Like, this is his wheelhouse. Like, good sci-fi is Spielberg's wheelhouse. This is what he should always be doing. He does a great period piece film. He does a great action flick. But he needs to kind of stay out of the animation world and some of that other stuff. Some of the family stories. I'm not really into some of that stuff. I love his sci-fi stuff. And this is his Ready Player One is what it's all about. So,
yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, is that he does what he does best, which is just kill these types of films.
Give me that summer blockbuster.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it so much. And then, of course, Isle of Dogs. They keep playing the trailers in my theater still, and so I'm like, every time it comes on, I'm like, shh, shh. And then, like, this last time, my wife and I are like quoting every line like in the trailer. That's when you know, like, you're super jacked for a movie, is when you can quote every line in the trailer.
You know, and that's the thing, like, I honestly, I hate the trailer for Isle of Dogs.
Really?
I hate it so much.
You're Duke.
Because I know what Wes Anderson's doing in that trailer, and he's not telling you really anything that's going on, but he's giving you this semi half-assed story of what could possibly be happening. But I just feel like it's not going to be anything close. It's not going to be anything near that. And I'm just trying to, that trailer, I feel like, is such a misleading piece. And I kind of hate it. Like, 'cause I'm like, but it sounds so cool, but I can't wait to see a Wes Anderson film again. I haven't seen one in so long, especially these animated ones. You know, just like, there's so much I love about the idea of that flick, but I'm doing everything I can to stay away from that trailer. I hate when that trailer comes on, 'cause I'm just like, stop watching it. Stop watching it. I want this movie.
That's like the that soundtrack, so we can just drop that wow.
Ooh, wow. Wow. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, wow. It makes me feel good, and I love Wes Anderson movies so much.
He crushes it. He crushes it.
And it reminds me of, I don't know why, but it reminds me of my favorite Wes Anderson, which is Moonrise Kingdom. So it's especially when the music comes on, when he's walking with the dogs, and
swallow my pride. Like, yeah, there's this, you know, Wes. Moonrise is phenomenal, Wes Anderson. I'm such a huge Rushmore fan as well from him. Yes, you know, yes. Like, there's so much good. Fantastic Mr. Fox is just, I love that this animation style is back from Fantastic Mr. Fox, because Fantastic Mr. Fox to me is just, there is another level of film that shelf is, and Fantastic Mr. Fox is on that shelf. So
absolutely. That's the last animation we've seen from him, isn't it?
I believe so, unless he's dabbled in something else that I, you know, wasn't maybe one of his flicks. So
yeah, I'm excited for it. But yeah,
so excited. So
I think we could say this is, you know, stick around for, we'll say bye for now, and then we'll record a little Black Panther.
Well, and here's the thing, right? So go and check us out on Twitter at Quest for 100, or Quest for Movies on Twitter. What are we on? Yeah, Quest for Movies on Twitter, at Quest for Movies on Twitter, at Quest for 100 Movies at gmail.com. You can check me out, the Big Papa Matt, on Twitter. You could also check out Nerd Mosh Pit on Twitter. But more than anything, you guys, check out the site, mouse-corp.com. If you want to see any of these films, want to pre-order any of these films, if you want to read the books to these films, go check out our Amazon link on our site as well. That really helps us out in a big, big way. But more than anything, like B talked about earlier, like, share, comment, subscribe. Friends, family, enemies, 5 stars. I don't care if you're talking shit to us on the 5-star. Just give us a 5-star. What's it do to you? What's it do to you to give us the 5-star? Let us have some fun with it, man. We really enjoy having this show. We enjoy talking to all of you with this show. And if you want to join the conversation, hit us up on Twitter, email us, shout us out on iTunes, and check us out as well. Watch us on Twitch. Twitch, it's here. We're loving it.
Twitch.tv/MouseCorp. Check it out. And if you're interested in any of these backstories on the comic books that we've been talking about, if you're getting excited for Avengers, Age of Ultron, and all of that, Infinity War Infinity stuff, Wars, yeah. If you're excited about my boy, T'Challa. Black Panther, you know, check out our friends over at Turbo Comics. That's on Twitter, they're Turbo Comics ID, at Turbo Comics ID, or on Facebook, Turbo Comics. You can check out their shop there, as well as you can order stuff. You can tell them what you're looking for, and they'll go find it for you, and they'll mail it to you.
Yep.
They're really cool like that, and they do a bunch of awesome cons, like the one I'm going to here in a couple weeks. So
nice. And then a huge shout out to who actually built us our new logo. If you guys like the new Quest 100 logo, shout out to our guy, Justin Reed. I really want to thank him for doing that, man. He did some amazing work on that. I love a lot of the little Easter eggs and the setup on that. So, Justin, I really can't tell you, man. Thank you so much for that. It's going to be something that really goes a long way with us. And then your company, Be Kind Designs, you can follow them on Instagram and check out some of his work. He's done some amazing, you know, music albums, logos for other items. He's a phenomenal artist, and he really does have a great time. And we thank him for sharing that on our site and our podcast. So thanks, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Ready? Black Panther this?
Yeah. Let's get down with Black Panther.
End cut. All right. I don't know. What's happening?
I love you.
Shape. Bro. Shape.
We're going to set you down for a moment. All right, girl. Don't you love that it's the actual...
And shout out Be Positive Designs, not Be Kind Designs. I knew I messed that up. Be Positive Designs. Sorry, Justin. My bad.
Wow! Then let us be rid of it. Once and for all.
It's a dangerous business, Frodo. Going out your door, you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye! Bye.